In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. Well, we're going to look now today at Psalm 11, but I'm going to do it in a little bit different way. It's a short psalm, and we're very fortunate to have, I don't know how many of you know this, it's this thing called the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture. And for every book of the Bible, there is a collection of sayings of the fathers of the church. I did the Acts of the Apostles in this series. It was a great service to me to have to study all these fathers of the church. And all of these volumes are quite useful. The series is put out by InterVarsity Press. But I'm going to take this psalm, Psalm 11, and I'm going to look at it, and then I'm going to look at various ways the fathers of the church have understood it. And I think you'll find that interesting. So, the psalm starts off to the leader of David, meaning this is a psalm of David. It begins, "In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains? For look, the wicked bend the bow, they have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright of heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates the lover of violence. On the wicked he will rain coals of fire and sulfur. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their club. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face." It's just seven verses. What I want to do now is, while looking at the Hebrew text and commenting on it, go through how the various fathers comment. And that's what this whole series does. This is just the volume on Psalms 1 to 50. So it starts off, as you just heard, "In the Lord I take refuge." Adonai Chasiti. How can you say to my soul, take your refuge like a bird? So, let's look first at Diodorus of Tarsus. Even if movement is necessary, he is saying, "Nevertheless, let it be known that I do not hope to secure safety from those with whom I am constantly in opposition, except by hoping in God, who can provide me with safety in every place. People are telling me, get out of town, they're all looking for you, people don't like what you're saying." And so he said, "Where could I go? God is my refuge." Chrysostom, commenting on the same verse, "Great is the power of hope in the Lord, invincible citadel, unassailable rampart, insuperable reinforcement, tranquil heaven, impregnable tower, irresistible weapon, unconquerable power, capable of discovering a refuge where none seems possible." That's typical Chrysostom. His name, as you probably know, Chrysostom, also means the golden mouth. He was a great orator. He's 4th century, and more or less, 347 to 407. And he earned that epithet, Chrysostomos, the golden mouth. So this first line is saying, you know, look, I take refuge in the Lord. So how can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains? Look, the wicked bend the bows. They have fitted their arrows to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright of heart. And so he's meditating on that. And some of the remarks of the fathers. Another one of Chrysostom, commenting on the same psalm. I have the Lord of the universe as my ally. The one who without difficulty created everything else everywhere is my leader and support, and you would send me to the wilderness and provide for my safety in the desert? After all, surely the help from the desert does not surpass the one capable of anything with complete ease. Now that's faith. He's saying, you know, the psalm is saying, get out of town. And Chrysostom is saying, I don't have to get out of town. My help is right here. Now, that's very interesting in a way, you see, because you find this tactic. I'm not saying this is an example of it, though it could be. You take Kohelet, vanity of vanities, and everything is vanity, and all that. Why does he say that? Because he wants us to say, oh no, not everything is vanity. He's trying to provoke us to rise to the occasion. And there's something like that going on here as Chrysostom understands it. And here's Cassiodorus, another one of the fathers. Here the psalmist speaks of those whose most random inclination bears them off to the loftiest regions of earth. So those who in fickleness of wavering mind turn to most wicked doctrines are rightly considered similar to them. If he's saying, if your mind is unstable, you're always after the newest novelty, the greatest, the best idea on how to understand this doctrine or that doctrine. He said, that's like a bird trying to find a safe place to set a nest and to rest, you see. Is that what the psalmist is about? Not exactly, huh? This is a psalm of confidence. In the office, you'll find it Monday week one of evening prayer. Then you'll find it in the Common of One Martyrs in the office of readings. They put it on the mouth of the martyr. Where should I run? God is my refuge. And so that's, these collections are helpful, you see. Ambrose. The soul has wings by which it can raise itself free from the earth. But this movement of the wings is not of something constructed of feathers, but a continuing series of good works, like those of the Lord, of whom it is said, in the shadow of your wings I shall take refuge. In the first place, the hands of our Lord, fixed on the cross, were extended like something in flight. And second, the actions of God are like a refreshing shadow of eternal salvation that can regulate the conflagration raging in our world. Do you see what they look for when they're reading these psalms? What's the reality, and how do I understand that in Christ? So Ambrose is saying, the soul has wings, but in the first place, the hands of our Lord fixed on the cross were extended like something in flight. So there's another kind of flight. That's to have your hands stretched out on a cross and be making your way to God. Flying to God, even though your body stays right there. And in 3 hours, you will be with the Father, and you will return to us, and your body will be radiant, and the marks of their nails will be full of radiance and beauty. So much so that to this moment, as it says in the book of the Apocalypse, the Lord bears the marks of his slaughter. I saw a lamb standing there, bearing the marks of his slaughter. That's from the Apocalypse. Okay. Now, the wicked bend the bow, which is that other line there. See, and behold, the wicked are bending the bow. Jerome says, sinners or rebels have ready burning arrows that must be repelled with the shield of faith. In their quivers, they carry darts to shoot at the just, not in the daytime, not in the glimmering night, when the moon comforting tempers the darkness, but when the night is deep and the darkness groping. Now, here's just a commentary right on this psalm. What's he saying? You see, go take refuge in the desert. He's saying, my refuge is God. That's my refuge. But can you see how real all of this is for them? This, I think, is one of the things we priests are supposed to be saying these psalms every day. But if we just read them, nothing much happens. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to place them in our hearts, you see, how can you say to me, flee like a bird to its nest, you know, to its safety? I have placed my hope in the Lord. How can you say, go try to place it somewhere else? Okay. The next part of this is a little difficult to translate. I mean, the text is not crystal clear, and so the fathers do what they can with it. And then, verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on the throne in heaven, and his eyes are gazing. Here it is. He's examining humankind. God knows everything that's going on. Don't kid yourself. One of the things people do when they want to commit sin, and we do it, this kind of push the thought of God out of the way. You know? Instead of seeing his eyes looking at us with love right now. If I want to lie, I want to drink too much, I want to see a lousy movie, I mean, the eyes of the Lord are looking at me, not harshly, but with love. Why would you turn from me for that? That's what he's saying there, you know. And now, just one more. This is Fulgentius of Ruspe, who's not as well known as some of the others. Eternal life will be given in the future only to the one to whom forgiveness of sins has been given in this world. That's why we've got to get our sins forgiven so we can enter eternal life. Only he will receive the forgiveness of sins here who renounces his sins. If I'm stuck to my sin and want to just keep on sinning, then sorry, Lord, sorry, Lord, sorry doesn't mean anything. We'll stop there and go on with the psalm at the break.